They have VOA 1 on blast.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the show, you will hear from Dan Friedel and Jill Robbins. They both tell us about recent events in New Zealand. Brian Lynn presents this week's science report. We close with the next part of our U.S. history series. But first, here is Dan Friedel.
Hundreds of pilot whales died this week on the beaches of the Chatham Islands, about 800 kilometers east of New Zealand. It is the second large stranding of whales in recent weeks. About 200 pilot whales died in the Australian state of Tasmania in late September. New Zealand officials said the islands are home to about 600 people. Rescue groups went to help, but they could not get the whales back in the water. Many of them died naturally, but others were euthanized because they could not be saved. At least 477 whales are believed to have died. New Zealand's Department of Conservation wrote about the stranded whales on Facebook. "These events are tough, challenging situations," the department wrote. "Although they are natural occurrences, they are still sad and difficult for those helping." Darren Grover works for a group called Project Jonah that works to rescue whales. He called the event a heartbreaking loss. He said the island's distance from New Zealand and the presence of sharks in the water made it hard to help the whales. Dave Lundquist is an advisor for New Zealand's Department of Conservation. He said the department does not try to save whales on those islands because the sharks make it unsafe for both people and the whales. He called euthanasia the kindest option. Grover said the Chatham Islands are a place where whales go to find food. As the whales get closer to land, however, they can become confused. Strandings of large groups of whales are common in the summer, scientists say. Grover said the whales use a system called echolocation to find food and avoid barriers underwater. But as they get closer to land, they can lose their place if the water level changes quickly. Before they know it, Grover said, they're stranded on the beach. Grover said the whale bodies will not be moved. They will decompose naturally. Nature is the great recycler, he said. I'm Dan Friedel.
New Zealand's government recently proposed taxing the greenhouse gases from farm animals as part of a plan to fight climate change. Farm animals produce gases through natural processes like burping and urinating. The government said the taxes would be a world's first. They said that farmers should be able to get the money back by charging more for climate-friendly products. But farmers quickly criticized the plan. Federated Farmers is the industry's main political support group. It said the plan would rip the guts out of small-town New Zealand and see farms replaced with trees. Andrew Hoggard, the group's president, said farmers had been trying to work with the government for more than 2 years. They were working on a plan to reduce greenhouse gas production that would not decrease food production. Hoggard said, "Our plan was to keep farmers farming. But with the taxes," he said, "farmers would be quickly selling their farms." The conservative ACT Party is the main opposition group. Members of the party said the plan would increase worldwide greenhouse gas production by moving farming to other countries that were less efficient at making food. New Zealand's farming industry is very important for its economy. Milk products, including those used to make milk for baby food in China, are the nation's largest export earner. There are just 5 million people in New Zealand, but the country has some 26 million sheep and 10 million farm animals producing milk and meat. About half of New Zealand's greenhouse gas comes from farms. Farm animals produce gases that warm the planet, like methane and nitrous oxide, from burping and urinating. The New Zealand government wants to reduce greenhouse gas production and make the country carbon neutral by 2050. Under the government's proposal, farmers would start to pay for greenhouse gas production in 2025. The price has yet to be finalized. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said all the money collected from the proposed tax would be put back into the industry. It would support new technology, research, and payments for farmers. Agriculture Minister Damien O'Connor said New Zealand farmers were already experiencing the impact of climate change with periods of dry weather and flooding. Taking the lead on agricultural emissions is both good for the environment and our economy, he said. The proposal is similar to another unsuccessful proposal made in 2003 to tax farm animals for their methane production. Back then, farmers greatly opposed the idea and political opponents criticized it, and the government dropped the plan. The debate in New Zealand is part of a larger international discussion on the effects of farming on the environment and the steps some say are needed to reduce its impact. In the European nation of the Netherlands, farmers have blocked large, busy roads with farming products and vehicles. They did so to protest government proposals to decrease the production of greenhouse gases. I'm Jill Robbins.
The American Space Agency, NASA, says a recent experiment that crashed a spacecraft into an asteroid successfully changed the path of the orbiting object. NASA announced the results on Tuesday. It said it was the first time that human action had changed the motion of a space object. The operation was called the Double Asteroid Redirection Test, or DART. The DART spacecraft crashed into an asteroid called Dimorphos on September 26th. Dimorphos is a small moonlet that orbits a larger asteroid named Didymos. The crash happened about 11 million kilometers from Earth. The crash, or impact, was observed by powerful telescopes. The observations showed the impact created a crater in the asteroid. It also led to dust and rock flows that stretched several thousand kilometers. The goal of the crash was to see how it might redirect the asteroid's path and speed. Before the impact, Dimorphos was completing one orbit around Didymos every 11 hours and 55 minutes. After the crash, the orbital period was reduced by 32 minutes to 11 hours and 23 minutes. Scientists involved in the project had predicted a reduction of 10 minutes, so they were pleased with the actual test results. NASA described the crash as the world's first planetary defense test. But the asteroid targeted in the mission did not present any actual threat to Earth. However, NASA and its international partners continuously search the skies for what scientists call near-Earth objects, or NEOs. Such objects include asteroids and comets that come within 50 million kilometers of Earth's orbit. Scientists estimate there are billions of asteroids and comets orbiting our sun. At a media event to announce the results, NASA Administrator Bill Nelson said, "This mission shows that NASA is trying to be ready for whatever the universe throws at us." Lori Glaze is NASA's Director of Planetary Science. She said, "Let's all just kind of take a moment to soak this in. For the first time ever, humanity has changed the orbit of an object in space." NASA officials said four telescopes were involved in measuring the orbital period. All of them are in Chile and South Africa. Two American-based radar telescopes also helped confirm the results. Former American astronaut Rusty Schweikert said he was clearly delighted by the results and the attention the mission has brought to asteroid redirection. Schweikert helped launch the nonprofit B612 Foundation, which seeks to develop tools and technologies to protect Earth from asteroid strikes. NASA has said that no known asteroid larger than 140 meters in size has a reasonable chance of hitting Earth in the next 100 years. But scientists have predicted that in the very distant future, such a strike is possible. For example, historical records of Earth's geology show that a 9-kilometer-wide asteroid struck Earth about 66 million years ago. This huge explosion put the planet into a long winter and killed off nearly all dinosaur life. NASA plans to launch a telescope in 2026 called the Near-Earth Object Surveyor. It will aim to better identify large asteroids and comets that could threaten Earth within 48 million kilometers. Planetary defense experts say changing the motion of threatening near-Earth objects is less dangerous than blowing them up and creating additional pieces that could fall down on Earth. This is especially the case when objects can be identified years ahead. Nancy Chabo is a planetary scientist with Johns Hopkins University's Applied Physics Laboratory in Maryland. She led the $325 million DART mission. Chabo said, "We really need to also have that warning time for a technique like this to be effective." NASA's Glaze added, You've got to know they're coming. I'm Brian Lynn.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, a program of American history for people learning English. I'm Steve Ember. On March 4, 1801, Thomas Jefferson walked to the Capitol building in Washington. He was about to be inaugurated as the third president of the United States. He entered the Capitol to the thunder of cannon. All the senators and representatives stood until Jefferson sat down. A few moments later, the newly elected president rose and began to read his inaugural speech.
The most famous line in it is, "We are all Federalists, we are all Republicans." It was a statement about, after all of the bitter partisanship of the 1790s, as bitter as anything we see in America in the 2010s, Jefferson says he's going to create a kind of bipartisan presidency.
Historian Joseph Ellis is the author of many books about America's founders. He says Thomas Jefferson's speech was one of the best inaugural addresses in American history. Friends and fellow citizens, I have been called to the position of chief executive of our country. I must tell you how honored and thankful I am. But I must tell you, too, of my fears. Yes, I must tell you that the duties of your president are too much for any one man. However, I tell myself that I am not alone. When I see all your faces, I understand the wisdom of those who wrote our Constitution. For in you, the members of Congress, and in the judicial branch of our government, I know that I shall find the strength, the honesty, the courage that I shall need. We have passed through a hard year of bitter struggle between two political parties. We have shown the world that in America, all can speak, write, and think freely. The debate is over. The people have decided. Now is the time for all of us to unite for the good of all. The majority of the people have won the contest. But we must always remember that there is a minority. True, the majority must rule. But the rule of the majority must be just. The rights of the minority are equal to the rights of the majority and must be protected with equal laws. Let us unite with hearts and minds. Let us have peace and love in our relations with each other. For without peace and love, liberty and life are sad things indeed. Let us remember that the religious freedom which we have in the United States is nothing if we do not have political freedom, if we permit men to be punished because they do not agree with the majority. For hundreds of years in Europe, men have killed and have been killed in the name of liberty. It is not surprising, then, that even here, in our peaceful land, all cannot agree. But it is possible to have different ideas without forgetting our common wish. We are all Republicans. We are all Federalists. Most of us love our country. Most of us want it to grow. There may be among us those who want to end the Union of the States or to end our Republican government. Well then, let those men speak freely without fear. They are wrong, but America is strong enough to let them say what they wish. When men can think and speak freely, there is no danger to the nation. For those who do not agree with them also have the right to think and speak freely. There are some honest Americans who are afraid that a Republican government cannot be strong. But I ask these good men one question. Do they want us to destroy a government which has kept us strong and free for 10 years? I hope not. We have here in the United States the best and strongest government in the world. This is the only nation on the earth whose citizens know that the government belongs to them. Then there are some who say that men cannot govern themselves. What do they offer us instead? Government by kings? Are kings men or are they angels? I will let history answer this question. Let us keep our union and our government by the people through their elected representatives. We are very fortunate here in the New World. Three 3,000 miles of ocean separate us from the wars and the dictatorships of Europe. Here we do not suffer as the people of Europe do. Here we have a great and rich land, with room for 100, perhaps 1,000 generations of Americans yet to be born. We and the American children who will come after us all have equal rights. We honor a man not because of his father, but for what the man is. We do not care what religion a man follows. In this country, men practice religion in many ways. Yet all our religions teach honesty, truth, and the love of man. All worship one God who rules the universe, who wants men to be happy in life. Yes, we are a fortunate people. What more do we need to make us happy? We need one more thing, my fellow citizens, a wise government. A government that keeps men from injuring each other. A government that gives men freedom to live and work in peace as they wish, and does not take from them the fruit of their labor. That is good government. In my short speech, I cannot tell you all the things that I believe our government should do and should not do, but I will tell you what I believe to be the most important principles of our government. This is what I believe in. The same and equal justice to all men no matter what their religion, their political beliefs, or their class. Peace, trade, and friendship with all nations, but alliances for war with no nations. Support of the rights of the state governments, which are the best defenders of our republic. A strong central government under the Constitution to protect our peace at home and our safety in other parts of the world. We must keep the right of the people to elect their representatives. This is the safe way to change governments that make mistakes. Without the right of election, we will have bloody revolution. In our election, the majority must rule. This is the lifeblood of a republic. If the majority is not allowed to rule, then we will have dictatorship. America should have a good volunteer army to protect us in peace and in the first days of war until we use professional soldiers. But at all times, the civil officers of the government must be first over the military officers. The rights of man will be of the highest importance in this government. Information, knowledge, and opinions must move easily and swiftly. We will support freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom of the person protected by the habeas corpus, and the right to trial by juries that are chosen fairly. These are the freedoms that brought us through a revolution and that made this nation. Our wise men wrote these freedoms. Our heroes gave their lives for these freedoms. They are the stones on which our political philosophy must be built. If we make the mistake of forgetting them, let us return to them quickly, for only these rights of man can bring us peace, liberty, and safety. Well then, my fellow citizens, I go to the position which you have given me. I am no George Washington. I cannot ask you to believe in me as you did in the man who led us through our revolution, the man who will always be first in the love of our country. I ask only that you give me your support and your strength. I know that I shall make mistakes, and even when I am right, there will be men who will say that I am wrong. I ask you to forgive my mistakes, which I promise will at least be honest mistakes. And I ask you to support me when I am right against the attacks of those who are wrong. Always, my purpose will be to strengthen the happiness and freedom of all Americans, those who do not agree with me, as well as those who do. I need you. I go to my work as President of the United States, ready to leave that position when you and the American people decide that there is a better man for it. May the power that leads the universe tell us what is best and bring to you peace and happiness.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.